This presentation is brought to you by iawaken.org, a not-for-profit organization. We hope you enjoy the presentation. Please observe the copyright terms to which you have agreed.
There are three mitzvot that the Ramban talks about along the lines of the way we were talking about Shabbos last week. The one mitzvah is the mitzvah that very few people know about, but it's one of the most important mitzvahs in the Torah, and that is the Asiso HaTov VaHayosho, Mitzvah Hashem Elokecha, you shall do that which is good and that which is straight before God.
Did you know that one of the 613 mitzvahs? Good and straight before the Lord your God. That is one of the 613 mitzvahs. That's interesting that people don't know that, but that is one of the 613 mitzvahs. Does
anybody know that you're not allowed to eat pork? But that's one of the 613 mitzvahs. Everybody knows that. That you've got to keep Shabbat. It says something quite interesting about our educational system, doesn't it? The way we learn Torah and teach Torah. That one of the most important mitzvahs, you shall do that which is right and that which is straight. Many people, they don't know that you're supposed to be straight, but will not know that that's one of the 613 mitzvahs. That's part of it. This is much more than just honesty. Well, I think that's right on the one hand. The other thing that makes it problematic is that, you know, when the Torah says you've got to eat matzah on Pesach, so what comes with that law? How you make matzah, how big the matzah must eat, what time you must eat the matzah, how quickly you must eat the matzah. It's all laid out, it's all very clear. And the Torah says you must not keep Shabbat, so you've got volumes and you must keep Shabbat, so you've got volumes and volumes and volumes of what you must do. You must do that which is straight and that which is right. Well, there is the Choshen Mishpat, there's a whole section of Shulchan Aruch that deals with that. But sometimes that knowledge, we've been speaking about it the last few weeks, that knowledge of what is straight and what is right is something internal to the human being, and therefore not something which is that easily measurable and quantifiable, and people have difficulty with that. I think that also, both in terms of the people who come to religion and the people who teach religion, and I'm saying religion because I don't think it's only the Jewish religion, I think it's in all areas of religion today, are very often people who have a need to be controlled and people who have a need to control. I think somebody who has no need to be controlled is not attracted to religion. He might land up being religious because he learned something, and you'll have a person who will, through a religious experience, will do it, but generally a person who has no need to be controlled, who doesn't find security in being controlled, will not naturally be attracted to a strict religion. Not to Catholicism, not to Judaism, probably not to Buddhism. They would be attracted to Shintoism and to Shamanism and all these other things where you can just sit and do what you want and dream about the stars. But a really controlling religion is not something that will attract somebody who doesn't need to be controlled. And likewise on the teaching side. And this mitzvah of the Asiso HaTov VaHayosho is not a controlling kind of a mitzvah. Because you can't lift it, you can't grasp it, you can't get around it, you know, and yet it's one of the most important mitzvahs. So it's not a popular mitzvah. It doesn't serve the needs of those who need to be controlled and those who need to control. It's outside of that realm. It's not a mitzvah that is taught much, but really, that should be the most important mitzvah. That should be the first mitzvah that's taught. That should be the mitzvah that's taught on and on. And it isn't. Now, the Ramban says that there are lots of things you're not allowed to do in business, for example, if you look about the business area. And those are fairly well structured. But he says you can observe all of those laws. That's why I say it's much more than being honest. You can observe all of those laws. You don't charge interest when you lend money, and you don't not dishonest, and you're not deceitful, and you don't overcharge for your products and services, and all of that. You can do all that stuff, and still you're not observing that mitzvah. Because that mitzvah, he says, have we got a mechitzah for Shabbos? But we'll have a mechitzah, we'll have that's fine. I would hate everybody at PJC to turn up the shul on Shabbos and think that I've turned the shul into a conservative shul. I think there's already such a fear. So I would hate that fear to be reinforced. My life has been in your hands, Sarah. My religious reputation has been totally in your hands this week. And you know what? I was totally relaxed. I didn't spend a moment worrying about it. Thank you very much. So the Sitter Ramban, you can do all of the mitzvahs. You can keep Choshen Mishpat. Choshen Mishpat is the biggest quarter of the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch is divided into four sections. One deals with everyday issues of prayer and Shabbat and Yom Tov. One deals with kashrut and the things you are and are not allowed to do. One deals with marriage, and the fourth one deals with business. And the fourth one is by far the biggest and by far the most complex. And the Ramban says you can keep all of it, every single paragraph of that, and still not be fulfilling the mitzvah of doing that which is straight and good in the eyes of God. Straightness is an internal thing. And that mitzvah comes after you keeping all the others, the Torah still says, and that's not yet right. The soul of it is, you shall do that which is right and that which is straight. So I gave you the example last week of the rabbi who had this pile of books to prove that the mikveh was kosher. And you'll have people who bring out piles of books to prove that you can cheat the receiver of revenue, you'll tax the IRS, you call in here, and you'll have somebody else who bring out piles of books to prove that if you're only dealing with a non-Jew, you don't have to be that honest. And you'll have another one who will give a pile of books. You can play with it as much as you want to. If it's not straight, it's wrong. And everybody should be raised with a knowledge of what is straight and what isn't straight. And the Ramban talks very forcefully about that. The second mitzvah that you've got like that is the mitzvah of Kadoshim Tiyu. Kadoshim Tiyu means you shall be holy people. So apart from all the other things that we have to achieve as a nation, we have to also achieve sanctity. And that perhaps is our differentiating quality. All the other things we do, non-Jews do too. But achieving sanctity means that in our very engagement in life, the way God engages in life, we are totally separate the way God is separate. That's what sanctity is. Sanctity is being able to achieve purity amidst engagement. If I were to define sanctity, that's what it is. When the Torah says, you shall be holy as I am holy, and Rebellion and a lot of others analyze that. What does that mean? We must be holy as God is holy. Does that mean we must withdraw from the world? If God is not withdrawing. If God were to withdraw from the world would cave in. God is engaged in every molecule of the world, every atom of the world. There is a God force. And if God withdraws that force from one atom for one moment, the whole world would cave in. So does this mean disengagement? No. It says, be holy like I am holy. Does it mean just becoming part of the world and losing one's own identity in that process? No, God doesn't adulterate himself one little bit. He stays God. He doesn't compromise himself one little bit. He manages to be totally engaged and completely uncompromised. And that is sanctity. And the Ramban says that the way that this can go. Yeah, turning around and the red button is down. And the Ramban says you can keep the entire Torah, every single law of every single paragraph of the Shulchan Aruch, and you can still not be observing that one. Kedoshim Tiyu goes beyond the laws of the Torah and says you've got, just as you have all the laws of business and you can still not be doing that which is straight and that which is right, so you could be keeping all the laws of the Torah and not be keeping the laws of sanctity. And sanctity means It means so much. It's so, and it's, again, the reason this one isn't taught is because, again, you can't, it's not for controllers and it's not for the controlled. You can't control somebody with the mitzvah of you shall be holy. You can control somebody with the mitzvah of you shall keep Shabbos. And if you do not keep Shabbos, you will not be one of our community. If you drive to shul on Shabbos, you are not one of us. You can control people that way. You must move into our area because you must walk to our shul. Otherwise, you cannot be a member of our shul. You can control people with that. So the appeal comes, I belong to that shul. What do you mean you belong to that shul? Well, I live within a mile of it, together with all the other people who live there. We're part of a community. That's part of building a community. I'm not saying that that's not an important part. But all of that fits into the controlling mechanism that you will have in any structured religion or in any structure of anything. But Kadosh and Tzivu doesn't. You can live 100 yards, you can live as close to the shul as Sarah does. And you can walk to shul, not drive to shul. And you can eat only the most kosher of food. And you can do all the right things and not disobey one line of the Shulchan Aruch. And says Ramban, you saw what he called Ramban terminabi Rishut HaTorah, a despicable person with the Torah's blessing. Because nowhere in the Torah does it say thou shalt not do this, thou shalt not do that. If you keep all the thou shalt not and still be a despicable person, there's only one mitzvah that makes that impossible. The mitzvah of Kadosh and shall be holy. And again, holiness is an internal thing. So you have a yeshiva bocher walking through the streets chewing gum, as is common in the world. And you can say, where does it say in the Shulchan Aruch, not chew gum, it's kosher. Look at the heshev, put some of the gum, what's wrong with it? Anyway, you can't do it. It's not a holy thing to be doing. It's just not a noble thing to be doing. It's a refined thing to be doing. Where does it doesn't say. Then you answer the insecurities of, it's something you have to be able to feel internally. You've got to be able to feel it's unfitting. It's just not right. Who says it's not right? Well, if you don't know it's not right yourself, then nobody says it's not right. Then it's right. Then do it. That is something that we have to be able to develop an internal ability to sense. And that's the second mitzvah. So, being straight, there are no guidelines, there are no rules. If you have to ask the rules, you don't understand the mitzvah. Kadoshim Tiyu, an equally important mitzvah. These are the three mitzvahs I'm giving you, are three of the most important mitzvahs of the Torah, without a question. And they have no guidelines. If you have to ask how do you do it, you don't understand it, and you're not part of that mitzvah. And if in an educational environment and in a community environment we have not taught how to do those mitzvahs, then that environment has failed, as far as I'm concerned, because the heart of the Torah is missing. And the third one is Shabbos. Then you can keep all the laws of Shabbos, but there's another law of Shabbos which isn't taught, and that's Tishbos, make a Shabbos, create a Shabbos. And you don't just create a Shabbos by observing the laws, just as you don't create straightness in business by doing nothing wrong. And you don't create sanctity by keeping the laws of Kashrut, the laws of Rechaim and Yoredei and everything else, by davening three times a day and keeping Shabbos and Kashrut. All of that, says the Rambam, doesn't make you a holy person. There is yet another law of Kadoshim to you, thou shalt create sanctity. And that's over and above everything else. And thou shalt be straight and honest, that is straight and good, that is over and above everything else. And so Tishbos, thou shalt create a Shabbos, is over and above everything else. Beyond everything else. And merely keeping the laws does not create a Shabbos. And so discussing this question of what does it mean to create a Shabbos is as difficult and as complex as discussing the laws of what does it mean to be holy and what does it mean to be straight. And you'll see what your tendency was last week. What did you ask me to do last week? Will you? Tell us how to do it. There is the desire to be controlled. You will find that in religious. It's something that we'll deal with more and more. Religious people enjoy being controlled, otherwise they wouldn't be religious. What we've got to work out is how to be controlled. It's true.
Well, you're going to be controlled by something, so anyway. So you might as well be controlled by something you want to be controlled.
Yeah, the problem is, what you're right, Mrs. Khan, and what the religious choice should be is, then let me be controlled by God. But we don't usually make that jump. We usually see rabbis as God. And we say, then let me be controlled by my rabbi. Because that way it's much easier. He talks to me, at least God doesn't talk to me. So I want to be controlled by somebody who tells me what to do and what not to do. And we find a great deal of comfort in equating our rabbi with God. And therefore he tells me what to do. And that must be God telling me what to do. And therefore I'm a good Catholic. And if we, the people who become religious, I'm generalizing, and yes, Liz, I'm being very black and white, and that does distort it enormously, but I have to distort it in order for you to see it. Unlike you. Those of us who move to religion that way, if we were not Jewish, would become Catholic or would adopt some other form of very structured, strong religion. And what do the Catholics do? There is a Pope. He is God. There was Jesus. He was God. There's somebody physical here who talks to you and tells you what to do. God talks. So I can hear. I want to be controlled by God, but I want to know exactly what to do and what. Our God doesn't talk to us. Our God says, guys, I've given you a Torah, figure it out yourself. And take responsibility for the way you figure it out. And rabbis are there to teach you how to use the Torah. They're not there to control you. Now, we do control society. Just as governments control the society, there is such a thing as religious government. There's a Sanhedrin, there's a death sentence, there are all sorts of things for societal control. You need to control the society. You cannot leave a society to do its own thing. You need to control a community. You need to control a yeshiva. You need structures, institutions need to be controlled, but not individuals. And to achieve institutional control without achieving individual control becomes very difficult. And to me, that is the essential definition of orthodoxy. Orthodoxy is the institution is under religious control. The people are not. Orthodoxy is not the people are under religious control. The institution is under religious control. What I'm concerned about is that our shul operates absolutely 100% according to the halakha, and that anybody who comes in knows that and feels that. Whether people in the shul are keeping the halakha or not, that's a different issue altogether. That depends on my talent as a teacher. That depends on nothing else. And on the speed at which they wish to progress and on where they're holding, it depends on all sorts of factors other than the control of them. And so your natural desire was, tell us how to keep Shabbos. And I'm saying no. The moment I would do that, we would be off Tishbos and we would be onto a whole lot of new rules. And that while we need to understand, and let's go back to another point. You know that when the Shulchan Aruch was written, there was enormous opposition. Enormous opposition. Why? The Shulchan Aruch was the first rule book. Until then, we didn't have a rule book. The Gemara is not a rule book. The Gemara is a way of thinking. There's no ways you can figure out from the Gemara unless you apply hours and hours of research into one particular topic. There's no way you can look up a law anywhere. You cannot look it up. You can study it, and you can develop, and you can think, and you will come to a conclusion probably different person sitting next to you. And until the time, we didn't have a rule book. Even the Rambam isn't a rule book, and he wasn't that much before the Shulchan Aruch. So if you go before the... Certainly no rule book. Absolutely nothing. And they burned down the book. And those are the Shulchan Aruch. Because it was introducing regulation into individual Jewish life. This was no longer regulating the institution. This was regulating the individual. And the Shulchan Aruch's defense and the Rambam's was, yeah, that we're getting to a point where people won't even be able to access any form of that wisdom. And therefore, let me share that with you. And therefore, regrettably, there's a need. It's a little bit like Lahavdil, the question of the role that the Art Scroll series play today. To me, it is the most wonderful blessing that the Art Scroll industry developed, and the people who did it will, I have no doubt, have the world to come. But it's the biggest tragedy in Jewish life that it was necessary. And the Shulchan Aruch was the same. It was an absolute blessing that Rabbi Yosef Karo and Amor had the foresight and the brilliance to do what they did. But it was an absolute tragedy of that epoch that it became necessary and has remained necessary. And so that the quest for rules runs the risk of undermining the essence of what the Torah is about. The Torah never was about rules. Read the Chumash, read the Torah. Where are the rules? You can't figure anything out from it. So you go to the Mishnah, there are no rules in the Mishnah. So you go to the Gemara, there are no rules in the Gemara. It's a way of thinking, it's a way of being. And at least in these three mitzvahs, there's no Shulchan Aruch on Kedoshim to you, there are no rules. Even the Shulchan Aruch didn't tell us how to do it. There are no rules on how to be straight. Even the Shulchan Aruch does not have a chapter on that. And there are no rules on how to keep Shabbos, only on what not to do on Shabbos and certain things about honoring Shabbos, doing certain actions. But there are no rules for the mitzvah of Tishbos. So those three mitzvahs that Ramban picks out are the last bastion of essential Torah values, where as much as we need to control the institution and the community, we do not control the individual. And it's quite a concern to me personally, not to many other people. That doesn't have to be a concern of yours, but I might as well tell you about my concerns. Otherwise, what's the point of having 20 people sitting around listening to you if you can't tell them what you're concerned about? Is that in our playing into the needs of people who need to control and be controlled, we are losing the people who don't need to be controlled and controlled. And they are the people who could make the biggest contribution to Torah. Those are the people who we really need. Those are the people who God really needs. Those are the people who the Torah really needs. And in our buying in so completely to one area, we're losing that whole other area. And that's why I raised that question last week of Tishbos, of keeping a Shabbos, of understanding that the law of not working for half an hour after lighting the candle is not a penalty, that's a blessing. But it needs to be created. An environment needs to be created. That law is just the flesh, it's just a bone. One has to flesh it out, one has to create an experience out of that law of not working for that half hour, and the same applies to Shabbos. So in the discussion of Shabbos, let's have a look at what the Tishbot really means. What does God mean when he says in the Torah, Tishbot, you shall create a Shabbos? What does the word Shabbos mean? What does the word Shabbos mean? What's the root of the word Shabbos?
Shave.
And what does shave mean?
Sit.
Is that right? Yeah. That's what the word said. So is Shabbos a day of sitting?
No. Not for me.
Not for you. So why is it shave? Why does it mean sit? Sit, you're right, the root of Shabbat is shave, and shave means sit. That seems to be inactive, that seems to be completely passive, and there is a certain passiveness to Shabbos, but is that what shave really means? What else do you recognize in the root of Shabbos?
Sheva.
No, different root.
And to shave all the way
dwell. Yes. So your shave. The day of being. Yeah. The day of dwelling. The day of living. The day of being settled. That's what it is. I think I mentioned to you once that Eric Fromm wrote an important book on the difference between having and being. And that Eastern religion and civilization focuses more on being and Western more on having. But there's a third one that gets in the way. When you're busy having, you actually are distracted from being. And when you're busy being, you are distracted from having. So if you sit and you're in a being state all day, you'll never earn any money. And if you run around earning money, you'll never be in a state of being. So those two are in conflict with one another. There's a third one that's the one of doing. And the difficulty with doing is that doing lives in both areas. You can do in the having world and you can do in the being world. Shabbos. That's exactly what Shabbos is. Shabbos is, and that's why the mitzvah, the way the mitzvah is worded for Shabbos is not teshvu. Not you shall sit. Tishbos, you shall create a Shabbos. It's different. It's an active, although it's a passive concept, it's an active, there's action in the process. So doing can be doing to have, and doing can be doing to be. And during the week, most of our doing is around doing to have. That's what changes on Shabbos. Whatever you have to have for Shabbos has to have been got. Liz, that's a good sentence. don't sound like one. But whatever you have to have has to have been had before Shabbos. You can't have it, you can't get it on Shabbos. So what Shabbos kept... What was that? Once Shabbos comes in, the getting process stops. There's nothing more you can do to get. You can what?
Get.
Yeah, but they take. They don't give. That's not getting. That's providing. That's an opportunity to give. That's not an opportunity. It's not getting something. A gift is a responsibility. A gift is giving to. And it's very important for God that we spend the seventh of our life in that mode, because that's how we're going to spend the rest of eternity after this world. Because that's what changes when you die. You can't get anymore. That's the only thing that changes. You're now moving from the stage of having, and from doing to have, to doing to being. I mean, the world is kind of an inactive place. You don't just sit around like a fat soul watching. You're doing, you're active, but you can't get anything from being active. It's all doing to be, not doing to have. And Shabbos is our learning how to do that. Shabbos is the time that we learn how to do to be rather than to do to have. And everything we do on Shabbos should be an exercise in that. Is this, am I doing? Because the Shabbos is not a shave of not doing. Am I doing? And is what I'm doing leading to being, or is it leading to having? And that's why we're not allowed to think about business on Shabbos, because what is thinking about business? It's doing something to have. It distracts you from what you're supposed to be. Do something to be. Now, what you want to be, that's your choice. There's no law in Shabbos that tells you that. Be whatever you want to be that day. Choose your being that day. It might not be the same every Shabbos, might not be the same throughout your life. Choose what you want to be, but make sure that you're not involved in inaction, and make sure that you're not involved in having, that you're involved in doing to be. And in the few minutes that are left, it would be good for you to share some of the ideas that you've experienced and that you believe that would be helpful to people in terms of what are some of the things you have done or believe you could do to be on Shabbos, things that Shabbos allows you to do. And that's why we said if magnificent entertainment is your way of being, then fine. Then being in the kitchen is your way of being. But then you mustn't say, I'm missing out on the conversation. Then conversation is not your way of being. Your way of being is the creativity of preparing a meal in the kitchen. Do you know what I'm saying? It's important that you have in your mind what being is for you. If being is sitting around the table with people, then cut down the food side of it and increase the kind of around the people. And then what kind of people? Are you inviting the kind of people that create that sense of being? And if not, then what are you doing? Those are some of the questions that you need to be looking at. And when you are a guest at somebody's table, do you have a sense of what they need to be? And are you willing? You don't have to accept the Shabbos invitation. Really, what should go through your mind when you're invited to a Shabbos is what do these people want to be this Shabbos? What do I want to be this Shabbos? And is there a match? And one should be able to say it. You don't have to say it to somebody, but they don't know. This isn't for me, the Shabbos. That's not where I need to be. The things I need to do to be is different. It's a day that is open to personal definition more than any other day of the week. As structured as it is the freest day. It is the only day that you can be what you want. Anything, as long as you're not into the having. And that's why as delightful as shopping is, Shabbos is shopping is not a Shabbos activity. It's not a question of cutting out delights or doing delights. It's the delight of being rather than having. And I know lots of people find having a being experience. And that kind of shopping, where you're not actually purchasing, is theoretically okay. A little problem with Maris Iron kind of thing, which one can get around, but it's wandering around the stores creates a sense of being and of wonder and color and style and all that kind of thing. It creates a sense of being, not against the laws of Shabbos, isn't it? As I said, there's some small technical problems that one can get around, but that's not essentially against the laws of Shabbos. Fine, museums are absolutely good. I do that often on Shabbos when I travel. Yeah, it's a great place to be if that's what gives you a sense of being. Art galleries. No problem at all.
Well, in terms of walking around the mall, would that be against living a straight and a good life?
Why?
Well, many reasons.
Well, Why they're not straight? If theoretically for a particular person in where they are holding at the moment, that's something, it doesn't have to be spiritual, it doesn't have to be being, if it's something that elevates them and for whatever reason, then okay, there's no law in the Shabbat against it. Is it the right thing to be doing for Shabbat? Maybe not for you, but maybe yes for me. And we have to be able to, in the Shabbos area, in these three areas, we've got to be able to look at each other and say, that's okay for you, even though it wouldn't be okay for me. You are being fulfilling the mitzvah of Tish B'Av. I would not be fulfilling that mitzvah by doing what you are doing. Do you follow what I'm saying? This is an area where it's so unstructured that each person has to be looked at and has to look at themselves in terms of what they need for them to be in that place of being. And yeah, there are some things that are outside of the laws of Shabbos, and that one we cannot do because they in fact get into the area of having. So one might question whether it is possible to be in a shopping mall and not be into the area of having. But the whole thing is designed to create the need and the desire, and it's on the most subliminal level, it's thrown at one from every angle, so one could question whether one can be in a state of being in a shopping mall. But let's not say a shopping mall, just a beautiful store that sells beautiful paintings, an art shop that has the most magnificent collection of impressionist paintings for sale. So there's a maritime problem. As I said, a little technical problem. Is it against the laws of Shabbos? No.
Can you ask like more examples about being? Because the being example that you've given, forgive me, I think that's a matter of location, but you want to be in the kitchen with the table. I find that quite superficial. Can you give me a sense of being, true being? Because I don't think that's true.
Can I give you a sense of true being?
And also, I don't think that just as being can do it. I mean, the doubt of being 7 days of the week.
Yeah, what's uniquely Jewish is talking about it only 1/7 of the week. You say, that is not the place to be 6 days a week. 6 days a week you get out there and you do. And you have impact and
but
you engage and you have.
But it's in the being with, it's not in the having. So then if that's what it's going to be like afterwards, then surely the more practice that we get in that realm is more important for us thereafter.
You mean, why do we have to, now you're asking, why is it not Shabbat 6 days, 7 days a week?
No, I'm just saying, I don't think it's uniquely, I first of all think you need to give much more tangible examples as to what you mean by being. And second of all, read the Dao.
You're not talking about the Dow Jones, you're talking about the firstly, the fact that the Dao anything else says it doesn't mean that it doesn't come from the Torah. That doesn't invalidate it because somebody else says it too. The New Testament comes from good ideas from the Torah. It doesn't mean that they're Christian and not Jewish because it's in the New Testament. And so it is with all of Eastern religion. These are things that Shem and Ava were teaching before there was an Eastern religion. But beyond that, the question of a lot of Eastern religion does try and create a Shabbat 7 days a week. And we don't do that. 6 days you shall work and the seventh day you shall create a Shabbat. And then that have to try and have a Shabbat. Well, there's almost a culture of the overwhelming importance of being more than having. And what is unique about the Torah and about Western Protestantism is the ability to try and balance, to find sanctity in the having as well, and simply create limits for the having by Shabbos. Shabbos creates a framework in the living, that much and no further, but doesn't annihilate the need to have, because the need of have to have is part of growth, it's part of experiencing growth, it's the concrete expression of growth, it's taking on responsibility, it's having impact, it's being able to do chesed. There are a whole lot of spiritual growth things that you can't do by being. So when I said doing is the balance, you've got the having and the being, and the east and the west, sort of balancing these things off. It's not one is good and one is bad. You've got to have and be, but it's almost impossible to be excel in both at the same time. That's the difficulty. So you're moving from one to the other. You can't have and be at the same time. When you're busy, totally involved in a having situation, it's very difficult to be at that time. And when you're totally involved in a being situation, it's very difficult to have. And that's what the Torah recognizes more than anything else. And the ratio of the 6 to 1 is interesting. But that is the ratio that the Torah wants. It wants us to be 6 days active in the having world and 1 day active in the being world. And the ability to move from one into the other and the speed of movement from one end to the other, and the mechanisms of movement from one end to the other, all of that is what is unique to the Torah rather than the concept. And every philosopher has dealt with that, the conflict of having and being, and their solutions range from only being the being to only being in the having, and everything in between. So that's an easy one. The harder one was the first question, and that is, can you give examples of the being? And that's so hard to verbalize. I'm trying to work out how I'm going to do that.